The Bank of Azuljevic had spent 15 to 20 years abroad, predominantly in Australia, and was well known for his dealing in the war zones of the Far East, as the British Observer put it. Chapter 55: The Present Situation. The Illuminati have the world in their grip, through the international bankers together with the elite societies mentioned and the empires built by them. They are in the process of strengthening their possession of this planet. Their main means of control are the national debts. And then there is the international police force to keep independent nations like Libya and Iran at bay, the UN troops. Because Libya is independent of international control, it remains a challenge for the New World Order. Muammar al-Gaddafi is presented in the media as a terrorist to justify aggression towards Libya. Brainwashing once again. George H.W. Bush was one of the best collaborators the Illuminati ever had, and due to his strong ties to the illegal drug trade, he will have to go on until his last breath. Number 8 of the protocols. Bush is a former CIA chief, former CFR chief, member of the Skull and Bones Order, member of the Trilateral Commission, and member of the Committee of 300. Indeed, this is the same Bush who would beauty US and this global alliance, Gaia, if at all possible, and of course he thinks he can do that without doing more than just stonewalling. He does, however, personally know me, Commander Hat on, and I believe we have a fairly good understanding of his OWN limitations in acceptable behavior. People, these manipulators are depending on you to blow all your OWN chances, and directly so through greed and avarice on your OWN part. His opponent in the 1992 presidential election, Bill Clinton, is a member of the CFR, of the Bilderbergers, and a lifelong member of the Masonic Order of Damoli. Since the early 80s, Clinton is also a member of the Trilateral Commission. His closest advisors with the best chances at leading positions in the administration also come from the Trilateral Commission: his foremost economic advisor Felix Rohatyn from the New York banking house Lazard Brothers, Paul Volcker, under Carter head of the Federal Reserve Board, Robert Hormats from the New York bank Goldman Sachs, and advisor for trade Paul Stern, and his advisor on foreign policy, Warren Christopher. Also included in the closer team are leading personalities of the CFR and the Brookings Institute. The bankers Peter Peterson, Robert Rubin, and Roger Altman are the most important among them. This means that both opponents are 100% Illuminati collaborators, and the US citizens were now called upon to choose between the two. This strongly reminds us of elections of the Socialist Unity Party in East Germany. The same goes for Germany and its Chancellor. Willy Brandt was a member of the Committee of 300 and of the Bilderbergers. Helmut Schmidt and Helmut Kohl both are members of the Bilderbergers. Bjorningham is also with the Bilderbergers and with the GAP, and if he had not stepped down, he would have been Kohl's opponent in the Chancellor election. 155. The US government is recognizing the UN Charter as law of the world. The founding of a one-world government recognized by all nations of the world is very near. See number 9 of the protocols. The Russian coup, too, was a success. Boris Yeltsin took over from Gorbachev. The so-called breaking up of the Soviet Union is actually just a name change. The military apparatus has not only remained the same, it actually became mightier than ever before. One of the last deeds by Bush was a $12 million financial injection to enlarge the military machine. Have you not noticed that despite the huge sums that also Clinton is sending, the people are still starving? Do you know what could be ameliorated with these sums? But all goes to the arms production and the secret services. According to the Wörtlichmitte Irlungen, confidential reports, of October 12, 1993, arms exports by Russia have fallen by only $1.8 billion. That is only about 6% of the $26 billion exports reached in the peak year 1986. When the Commonwealth of Independent States will be united with the US Army in the UN troops, people will believe that the two largest superpowers who for decades had been enemies, in reality they never were, would unite. Other nations will join voluntarily or they will be coerced by the future world army. Eduard Shevardnadze, former Georgian Minister for International Affairs and Major General of the KGB involved in torture and political suppression, is suddenly a close friend of U.S. Secretary of State James Baker and was proposed by the mass media, for example the New York Times, as Secretary General of the UN. That takes the biscuit. The IMF is increasingly becoming the driving force in the local economies of the states of the Commonwealth. Under its guidance, the price of petrol has risen from 4 rubles to 30 rubles a gallon in April 1992. The Congress of Russian Deputies is on the verge of protest against the IMF because Russia is already in a miserable state. As mentioned previously, the war in Yugoslavia is also part of the scenario of the Illuminati. A second Near East in the southern flank of Europe is wished for, to prevent a possible Eurasian reordering. Should Germany try to get out from under the control by the Illuminati, it could easily be stopped by an attack by the Serbs. In the greater Serbian propaganda, Germany has already been named the number one enemy. One world government recognized by all nations of the world is very near, see number 9 of the protocols. The Russian coup, too, was a success. Boris Yeltsin took over from Gorbachev. The so-called breaking up of the Soviet Union is actually just a name change. The military apparatus has not only remained the same, it actually became mightier than ever before. One of the last deeds by Bush was a $12 million US financial injection to enlarge the military machine. Have you not noticed that despite the huge sums that also Clinton is sending, the people are still starving? Do you know what could be ameliorated with these sums? But all goes to the arms production and the secret services. According to the Wirtschaftliche Erlangen, confidential reports, of October 12, 1993, arms exports by Russia have fallen by only $1.8 billion. That is only about 6% of the $26 billion exports reached in the peak year 1986. When the Sixth Commonwealth of Independent States will be united with the U.S. Army in the UN troops, people will believe that the two largest superpowers who for decades had been enemies, in reality they never were, would unite. Other nations will join voluntarily or they will be coerced by the future world army. Eduard Shevardnadze, former Georgian Minister for International Affairs and Major General of the KGB involved in torture and political suppression, is suddenly a close friend of U.S. Secretary of State James Baker and was proposed by the mass media, for example the New York Times, as Secretary General of the UN. That takes the biscuit. The IMF is increasingly becoming the driving force in the local economies of the states of the Commonwealth. Under its guidance, the price of petrol has risen from 4 rubles to 30 rubles a gallon in April 1992. The Congress of Russian Deputies is on the verge of protest against the IMF because Russia is already in a miserable state. As mentioned previously, the war in Yugoslavia is also part of the scenario of the Illuminati. A second Near East in the southern flank of Europe is wished for, to prevent a possible Eurasian reordering. Should Germany try to get out from under the control by the Illuminati, it could easily be stopped by an attack by the Serbs. In the greater Serbian propaganda, Germany has already been named the number one enemy. To lend more credence to this, I would like to quote from the Wirtschaftliche Erlangen 20, 1993, in the former Olympic village in Pale, near Sarajevo, an enigmatic British personality has been allotted one of the nicest apartments next door to the office of the Serbian leader Karadzic. We speak of Sir Alfred Sherman. In Great Britain, Sherman is known as the inventor of Margaret Thatcher. When the Conservatives were in a crisis following the departure of Edward Heath, it was Sherman who proposed the subsequently very successful Prime Minister as party leader. Together with Margaret Thatcher, he founded the Centre for Policy Studies. Mrs. Thatcher got Sherman knighted, it is said out of gratefulness. Formerly, Sherman appeared in Pale as a PR advisor to Karadzic. Actually, the leader of the Serbs coordinates all his political moves with Sherman. Local observers say that not a day goes by without Karadzic and Sherman conferring. The Bilderbergers are one of the mightiest organizations of internationalists who work towards a one-world government, and they keep so secret that some members of the Bundestag still maintain that they do not exist, whether this be pig-headed ignorance or active covering up notwithstanding. In May 1973, at the meeting in Salzjöbaden in Sweden, a state owned by the Swedish banker's family Wallenberg, 84 participants aimed at restoring the dwindling predominance of the Anglo-American financial interests and to return to them the control of the worldwide financial transactions. To this end, they reverted to a well-tried oil weapon and decided to, 156, raise the price by 400%, to support the US currency with the petrol dollars, which is just what happened. Spotlight. It is perhaps interesting to note that the organizer of the Salzjöbaden meeting was Robert D. Murphy. He has an interesting past history. Robert D. Murphy, as Consul General of the U.S., had met Hitler for the first time in 1922 and had sent a very favorable report to Washington about the meeting and Hitler's capabilities. The same Murphy worked in 1944 as political advisor to the U.S. government for Germany and in 1945 as political advisor at the U.S. military government in Germany. In 1988, the meeting was held in Telfs near Innsbruck, Austria, and German Chancellor Helmut Kohl was attending. From June 6 to 9, 1990, the Bilderbergers met in Baden-Baden, Germany. One of the topics was the Marshall Plan that proposed a $100 billion assistance to the CIA and in return demanded that the states adopt the free market rules. Here it was also decided for Saddam to invade Kuwait. The last meeting I know about was held on May 20, 1992, at the Hotel Hermitage in Evian, France. The main topic at this meeting was the Agenda 2000, the world government planned for the year 2000. As you can see, this subject is very topical, even if outwardly, it does not appear to be so. I would like to interject here that Willy Brandt, the deceased Jewish ex-chancellor, a member of the Bilderbergers and of the Committee of 300, had written a book called Nord Sud, Ein Überlebensprogramm, North-South, a program for survival, where he describes a world government by the UN, by the year 2000. And it is also interesting to note that the UN banner has the same colors as the banner of Israel. Remember, the Illuminati speak in symbols. The Anti-Defamation League, ADL, by the B'nai B'rith is a non-accredited foreign agency for Israel, who in the last years has leveled many charges against researchers, especially against Spotlight. It collaborates with the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which could explain why they are such strong supporters of the Albert Pike Memorial and so strongly opposed to economic scientist and repeated presidential candidate Lyndon LaRouche. From January 29, 1989, LaRouche was a political prisoner in Minnesota after having been sentenced to 15 years imprisonment in a judicial scandal staged by the American establishment. He was, however, freed in 1994. In the eyes of the Illuminati, LaRouche had become a very awkward adversary since he discovered and laid open the entanglements between the establishment, the Ku Klux Klan, the ADL, the B'nai B'rith, the Scottish Rite, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, etc. From the large-scale propaganda by the ADL against LaRouche, most know him as a right-wing extremist, although he is the main advocate for the removal of Albert Pike's statue in Washington. Gary Allen writes, "What happened?" Spotlight. It is perhaps interesting to note that the organizer of the Salzjöbaden meeting was Robert D. Murphy. He has an interesting past history. Robert D. Murphy, as Consul General of the U.S., had met Hitler for the first time in 1922 and had sent a very favorable report to Washington about the meeting and Hitler's capabilities. The same Murphy worked in 1944 as political advisor to the U.S. government for Germany and in 1945 as political advisor at the U.S. military government in Germany. In 1988, the meeting was held in Telfs near Innsbruck, Austria, and German Chancellor Helmut Kohl was attending. From June 6 to 9, 1990, the Bilderbergers met in Baden-Baden, Germany. One of the topics was the Marshall Plan that proposed a $100 billion assistance to the CIA and in return demanded that the states adopt the free market rules. Here it was also decided for Saddam to invade Kuwait. The last meeting I know about was held on May 20, 1992, at the Hotel Hermitage in Evian, France. The main topic at this meeting was the Agenda 2000, the world government planned for the year 2000. As you can see, this subject is very topical, even if outwardly, it does not appear to be so. I would like to interject here that Willy Brandt, the deceased Jewish ex-chancellor, a member of the Bilderbergers and of the Committee of 300, had written a book called Nord-Sud, Ein Überlebensprogramm, North-South, a program for survival, where he describes a world government by the UN, by the year 2000. And it is also interesting to note that the UN banner has the same colors as the banner of Israel. Remember, the Illuminati speak in symbols. The Anti-Defamation League, ADL, by the B'nai B'rith is a non-accredited foreign agency for Israel, who in the last years has leveled many charges against researchers, especially against Spotlight. It collaborates with the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which could explain why they are such strong supporters of the Albert Pike Memorial and so strongly opposed to economic scientist and repeated presidential candidate Lyndon LaRouche. From January 29, 1989, LaRouche was a political prisoner in Minnesota after having been sentenced to 15 years imprisonment in a judicial scandal staged by the American establishment. He was, however, freed in 1994. In the eyes of the Illuminati, LaRouche had become a very awkward adversary since he discovered and laid open the entanglements between the establishment, the Ku Klux Klan, the ADL, the B'nai B'rith, the Scottish Rite, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, etc. From the large-scale propaganda by the ADL against LaRouche, most know him as a right-wing extremist, although he is the main advocate for the removal of Albert Pike's statue in Washington. Gary Allen writes, "One major reason for the historical blackout on the role of the international bankers in political history is that the Rothschilds were Jewish. Anti-Semites have played into the hands of the conspiracy by trying to portray the entire conspiracy as Jewish. Nothing could be farther from the truth." The traditionally Anglo-Saxon J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller international banking institutions have played a key role in the conspiracy. But there is no denying the importance of the Rothschilds and their satellites. However, it is just as unreasonable and immoral to blame all Jews for the crimes of the Rothschilds as it is to hold all Baptists accountable for the crimes of the Rockefellers. The Jewish members of the conspiracy have used an organization called the Anti-Defamation League as an instrument to try to convince everyone that any mention of the Rothschilds or their allies is an attack on all Jews. In this way, they have stifled almost all honest scholarship on international bankers and made the subject taboo within universities. 157. Any individual or book exploring this subject is immediately attacked by hundreds of ADL communities all over the country. The ADL has never let truth or logic interfere with its highly professional smear jobs. Actually, nobody has a right to be more angry at the Rothschilds' clique than their fellow Jews. The Warbucks, part of the Rothschilds' empire, helped finance Adolf Hitler. None dare call it conspiracy communities all over the country. The ADL has never let truth or logic interfere with its highly professional smear jobs. Actually, nobody has a right to be more angry at the Rothschilds' clique than their fellow Jews. The Warbucks, part of the Rothschilds' empire, helped finance Adolf Hitler. None dare call it conspiracy. Here we should also look at Japan. For many experts, Japan is the country that is best prepared for the global changes of the next century brought about by technology. The fact that Japanese managers are represented in the Trilateral Commission does not mean that Japan is 100% infiltrated. The Japanese elite itself is very strongly interlaced with secret lodges that the Anglo-American multinationals so far have only had very limited influence on the Japanese economy. This is expressed very clearly in the book The Japan That Can Say No by Sony Bosei Morita and the leading Japanese politician Shintaro Ishihara. The book, intended only for the Japanese, has quite an explosive power. It characterizes America as the unloved friend, as a racist country, and it hints at Japan planning to retaliate for the capitulation conditions forced upon it. The authors describe the U.S. from a Japanese viewpoint as a tottering, rotting, dying colossus, mortally wounded under its star-spangled banner serving as a shroud. According to them, Japan has de facto forced the American economic system to capitulate. Ishihara and Morita openly state in their book what hitherto Japanese businessmen only dared voice in private circles and on the quiet. During the Second World War, the U.S. Air Force bombarded civil targets in Germany, but only on Japan, which was ready to capitulate, atom bombs were dropped for testing reasons. This was a terrible case of racism. This enforces statements by some leading Japanese personalities that destruction of the American economy was targeted as retaliation for Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It was said, "Japan is at war with the U.S. We will conquer America economically and retaliate for the loss of face in the Pacific caused to us by the U.S. CODE number 2 February 1990, and just what do you think they are about now?" According to an article in the Wall Street Journal in September 1991, almost one-third of the world's 100 largest banks and 4 of 5 leading insurance companies are Japanese. A large portion of New Zealand real estate, most hotels and big companies on the Australian east coast, and a large part of Canadian forest belong to the Japanese. Just how far the Japanese are actually controlled and used by the Illuminati, the future will show. A further organization that presents an outward picture at variance with what it actually goes on is the USAID. According to Anton Chaitkin and Jessica Primack, in A Strategy of Tension, USAID not only serves as a traditional cover for spy operations by the CIA, but it is also largely responsible for Anglo-American interventions in all parts of the world. There is, for instance, a USAID program with a $300 million budget for birth control in third world countries, whose main mission is the sterilization of colored population. Another personality of international influence is French President François Mitterrand, who is Grand Master at the Grand Orient Masonic Lodge. This is the largest lodge of France. He is also a member of the Committee of 300. On the subject of Freemasons and also of Church Christians, I would like to state here that perhaps 90% of the members of these organizations are used by the elites and have not an inkling of what happens in the upper echelons. The same goes for the Lions Club. The Rotary Club, Rotary International, was founded in 1905 by the high degree Mason Paul Harris on behalf of the B'nai B'rith Lodge in Chicago. Lions International was founded by the B'nai B'rith in Chicago in 1917. CCODE 188. In the lower degrees of the hierarchy, these organizations are much into social work and present really good programs. The normal Freemason or Church Christian are normal people trying to give their presence a positive impulse to daily life. At least most try hard to 158, give that impression, what can be seen in Northern Ireland by the Christians killing each other off. What goes on with a person becomes often only evident after prolonged observation. By the fruits ye shall know them. In principle, though, one can say that the higher in the pyramid, hierarchy, you climb, to where the real secrets are kept, the more one finds the opposite of the beginning grades. Jacob Sif was a high member of the B'nai B'rith and the secret advisor behind the Bolshevik Revolution. Franklin D. Roosevelt, Grand Master of Freemasons, had during his tenure started so many programs, but he was also the man who pulled the U.S. into the Second World War and helped plan the attack on Pearl Harbor. It was also he who conspired in three great meetings with Churchill and Stalin to sell Eastern Europe to the Communists. As you can see, secrecy is a very effective and often used instrument. Other Roth. What goes on with a person becomes often only evident after prolonged observation. By the fruits ye shall know them. In principle, though, one can say that the higher in the pyramid, hierarchy, you climb, to where the real secrets are kept, the more one finds the opposite of the beginning grades. Jacob Sif was a high member of the B'nai B'rith and the secret advisor behind the Bolshevik Revolution. Franklin D. Roosevelt, Grand Master of Freemasons, had during his tenure started so many programs, but he was also the man who pulled the U.S. into the Second World War and helped plan the attack on Pearl Harbor. It was also he who conspired in three great meetings with Churchill and Stalin to sell Eastern Europe to the Communists. As you can see, secrecy is a very effective and often used instrument. Chapter 56: George Soros and the Rothschild Connection. Who was George Soros? H. Better yet, who is this man? Meet one of the most prominent of the players in your downfall. He very much was, but he also is and did, in fact, wreck the economy of Southeast Asia in very short order. He is a top player in such as Bilderbergers and all the other controlling groups while doing nothing illegal. But then no one can do anything illegal if you and your colleagues make the laws. The now 64-year-old Hungarian with a U.S. passport is a superstar amidst the great speculators. When the last Forbes list of the best-paid managers and financiers was published, Soros was in the lead by a huge margin. In the last year, he earned $550 million, 20 times as much as the Disney boss. When Soros opens the hunt, the international money markets get moving and the reserve banks start worrying. In September 1993, he succeeded over the Bank of England. He was certain that the bank would have to take the pound that came under pressure out of the European exchange mechanism and devalue it. He gambled $10 billion, with success. He made $1 billion, which the British taxpayers now have to come up with. He himself openly likes to be known as the man who wants to influence the big money markets of the world. This is a very unusual stance for an investor to take, who should rather be interested in using situations unobservantly that the competitors have not yet discovered. In March 1993, Soros' activities became known when he predicted a rise in the price of gold. It is assumed, since this started a buying spree in precious metals, that this drove the price up 20% over the highest price since the Gulf War. In the beginning of June 1993, he wrote an open letter to the business editor of the London Times, Anatole Kaletsky, announcing that he intended to urge the money markets to sell large amount of German government bonds in favor of French stocks. Which means, down with the German mark and attack on the Bundesbank. In several newspapers across the world, Soros is praised as a kind of Robin Hood of the computer age, since by speculation he takes from the rich nations in grand style to hand out to Eastern Europe and Russia via several Soros foundations, to prepare the way for democracy in those poor countries that had been bled dry by communism. Who then is Soros? The official story says that he was born in 1930 to Jewish parents and as a teenager had been chased from Budapest by the Nazis. He enrolled at the London School of Economics and in the mid-50s came to the US. There he was magically drawn to Wall Street, but his career until 1969 was rather unspectacular. Then with a partner he took over an investment fund. He sold stocks he didn't own as futures, hoping that their 159 price would fall nearer the qualifying date and that he could acquire them at a price lower than his selling price. From this fund, the Quantum Group evolved, a family of investment funds operating for the Dutch West Indies. Quantum is one of the most impressive investment machines in the world. In 8 of the last 24 years it made an official profit of over 50%. In 2 of those years even over 100%. In the meantime, Soros handed business over to a group of managers and limits himself to designing the great campaigns. He put down his principles in the book The Alchemy of Finance, where he says what financial speculators this is more important than real economic facts. But this is but the picture the media, and we know who owns them, paint of him. Who is he in reality?